Star Wars 7x7, episode 3542. Yesterday, we started off talking about the mid-season finale, mid-season doubleheader of The Bad Batch. And today, we're going to start our usual dissections of these episodes, starting with episode 6, which is Infiltration. And today, we're going to do our 7 takeaway breakdown of the episode. Punch it. Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you so much to all the people who help support the production and creation of this podcast with their help at patreon.com/SW7X7. So today we're going to be talking about Infiltration. That's episode 6 of season 3 of The Bad Batch. It's the first half of the mid-season doubleheader. It's not quite a finale, but kind of like that. And for our patented 7 takeaway breakdown, we'll start as we usually do with a high-level overview of the episode, which starts off with a clandestine meeting between Senator Chuchi and former Senator Singh from the Confederacy of Independent Systems. We saw Senator Singh previously in season 1 of The Bad Batch, and he had gone into hiding. Well, now he's sort of out of hiding and having a meeting with Chuchi, which seems to be about how to possibly start fomenting a rebellion against Emperor Palpatine. But the meeting is interrupted by either a clone operative or a clone assassin or a clone ex-trooper, depending on what you like on a given day. It's Captain Rex and a bunch of other clones who are providing security for the meeting, and they end up not only protecting the senators from, getting harmed, but also manage to capture this particular assassin, which is rare. They've never been able to do that before. Turns out that assassin has a highly encrypted data puck, which, once decrypted, shows that not only was Singh the target for that particular assassination attempt, but also Omega is on this target puck as well. So that's how the Bad Batch gets drawn into things. Rex is hoping that by capturing this assassin guy alive, that they'll be able to, maybe get some information out of him. And it turns out that the reason why they want that information is because they are after Tantus. They are hoping to rescue their clone brothers, which is pretty exciting. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Once the Bad Batch arrives at Rex's secret base where they're holding this guy, Crosshair kind of has a little freak out, as it were. As much as Crosshair can have a freak out, because once he finds out that they have a live prisoner, he's like, that can't be the case. The Empire should be here by now. And everybody's like, well, they're not, and we've scanned him for tracking stuff. And the ever prescient Crosshair says, yeah, you're not going to be able to find anything that you're trying to scan for. And he's right, because over on Tantus, Scorch activates another one of these Clone X folks, and that guy's like, why have I been activated? He certainly seems like he woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning, and it's what you expect. Like, yep, he's trackable and needs to be neutralized. So this new clone assassin heads off to Teth, manages to infiltrate. So this is probably where the title of the episode comes from. Infiltrates Rex's base and is about to start shooting up the joint until he sees Omega in the crosshairs of his rifle. So then he goes outside, he calls into Tantus and says, hey, the primary target is here. And Scorch says, terrific, I'm sending a strike force to you, like, hang on, we'll be there. But it doesn't go like that, because the operative also has a mission to kill this other operative who's in captivity. So the operative goes back inside. The moment a prison cell door opens and he has an opportunity, blam, takes out that other operative, and then starts blowing up all the shuttles that are there that he previously set explosive charges on. Naturally, a battle ensues, and our heroes find out the comms are completely down. There's a command console that gets blown up. Hauser tries to grab Fireball's flamethrower and gets shot for his trouble, but the flamethrower ends up heating up some thermal detonators and blows a hole in the place. Stuff collapses onto the clone assassin and, in theory, on Hauser as well. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, now we're really in trouble, because we have no comms, we have no ships, and we see that there's a strike force coming to capture Omega alive, and the big surprise at the end is that it's Commander Wolf, one of the clones who we know is going to end up being on the side of the Angels eventually in Star Wars Rebels, but right now he's working for the Empire. So thank goodness, man, that they gave us two episodes, because this would have been an incredible cliffhanger. And, you know, if they had decided to do a mid-season finale thing and made us wait like a couple of months, like, this would have been the perfect time to do it, to be honest. So that's the high level summary. For our second takeaway, let's talk about Chuchi and Sing and their meeting. So this is apparently happening at the, you know, behest of Chuchi reaching out for potential allies, and it is sort of a politics makes strange bedfellows kind of situation, because Chuchi was on the side of the Republic in the Clone Wars and Sing was on the side of the Confederacy in the Clone Wars, but apparently, you know, they both love freedom, and certainly Emperor Palpatine is not a big fan of freedom. So yeah, it seems like despite being on opposite sides in the war, that now they have a common enemy. But unfortunately, as they note, they don't have unifying leadership. And it seems like this meeting is a first attempt potentially to, you know, start talking about something that would resemble unifying leadership. Now, there has been some interaction between Bail Organa and Senator Chuchi that happened in season two of The Bad Batch, but I don't get the idea that she is in the same circle as what Bail and Mon Mothma have been talking about in Padme Amidala before she passed away. Like, they're already talking about what kind of resistance they could possibly muster to things. So here's another example of rebellious activity in its very early stages. And for a third takeaway, we'll talk about another way that the early stages of rebellion are being supported by Captain Rex. It seems like Captain Rex has been assembling quite the group of clones. This gets noted by the Bad Batch as they arrive at the secret base on Teth, which is in a Bomar monastery, actually. So shades of Return of the Jedi and Jabba's palace, where they're like, I guess anybody can just show up and take over one of these places. Now, this also ties into the last time we saw Senator Chuchi, which was near the end of season two in an episode called Tipping Point, where one of the things that was happening was our hero clones were taking over, you know, attacking basically a transport that had a bunch of prisoner clones on it, and you know, liberated them, was trying to find out where they were headed, but didn't necessarily know, but at least was able to get these clones, and they were eventually folded into Rex's operation there on Teth. And because where we are now is many months after the events of season two of The Bad Batch, like maybe six at least by this point, then we're now seeing the fruits of Rex and company's work in getting all of these clones assembled. For a fourth takeaway, let's talk about what the point is of assembling all these clones. It's not just to get a bunch of clones to be free and out from under the thumb of the Empire and not be experimented upon and also just not be cast aside in the dust, but to actually mount an attack on Tantiss, which is a little bit shocking, a little bit surprising, but it's also kind of where we thought the season was going to be going anyway. I don't know that we had given any indication that Rex had his mind on attacking Tantiss and freeing all the prisoners there, but I guess it seems like it's been building ever since they, you know, started trying to, you know, liberate these various clones and finding out that they were being shipped to prisons. Maybe additionally with the work that Echo and the Bad Batch did in that Imperial facility in the Return from the previous episode, maybe the awareness of there being more clone prisoners on Tantiss than anybody thought, maybe that's something that helped provide an impetus for Rex to say, yes, we actually need to be assembling all of these clones, because the more we can get, the better odds of success for mounting an attack on Tantiss, because, oh my gosh, all of these clones are being held prisoner. For a fifth takeaway, let's talk about the Hauser Crosshair situation. So this is another example, actually, of Omega's positive influence on Crosshair, because when Hauser and Crosshair first meet, Hauser is super unhappy, and you already know that from earlier in the episode. He wants Crosshair to come to the facility because he wants to interrogate Crosshair about, you know, what he knows about the Tantus facility and whatnot. But Hauser also has a very personal vendetta against Crosshair, because going back all the way to season one, Hauser was on Ryloth and Crosshair was fully into the Empire at that point and killed a lot of Hauser's men there. So there is no love lost, for sure. However, the thing that Omega has done for Crosshair that particularly helps him in this circumstance is that she's getting Crosshair to be more vocal about his past, his experiences, what he's been through. So, you know, everybody's been saying, like, Crosshair's not telling us everything. Hauser even says a variation of that line. This time, when Crosshair shows up, even though Crosshair is just like, we have to get out of here, and the captured clone assassin says, you know, you've been asking me questions, why don't you ask him, and starts throwing the blame on Crosshair and sowing distrust, you know, enough that Hauser starts to go for his own blaster. But Crosshair gives them the whole rundown on the clone assassin program, or at least as much as he knows about it, and from his own personal experience. Crosshair's ability to open up in this moment and actually be a little garrulous, be a little free with his talking, is actually something that's helpful and beneficial. And honestly, I don't know if it would have happened if it was not for Omega's influence. That kind of dovetails nicely, actually, with the sixth takeaway I wanted to talk about, which is the dynamics of the Bad Batch. We talked a little bit about family dynamics in our previous deep dive episode, but in this particular case, things revert back to sort of the old way of the Bad Batch, if you will, where Wrecker and Omega are palling around together. Wrecker shows up on Teth and he's like, they don't look happy to see us. Like, and he's highly amused by this. So yeah, now he's back to comic relief and hanging out with Omega. And that's because Hunter gets to be the adult in the room talking about strategy and dealing with Rex and with Hauser and making sure that Hauser, you know, stays in line at some level. Which also then means that the dynamic between Hunter and Crosshair, if not entirely healed at this point, is certainly stable enough that Wrecker doesn't feel the need to step up and be the the adult trying to manage the interaction between Hunter and Crosshair and try to bridge the gap, bridge the divide between the two of them. It seems like Hunter and Crosshair have reached an accord of their own and are now, you know, solidly working together, or can, you know, trust each other to work together. And for a final takeaway, I'll just note something small that actually kind of amused me. So you know how Dee Bradley Baker is the voice of all the clones and also the Bad Batch members. Yes, they're clones, but, you know, we're just singling them out, basically. He is also the voice of Batcher, it turns out. So Batcher, as probably an honorary member of the Bad Batch now, it makes perfect sense that Dee Bradley Baker would be the voice of Batcher too. So I just thought that was particularly amusing and I was very appreciative of it. So that's what I've got for you about Infiltration, which is episode 6 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I hope, if you enjoy the podcast, that you will consider just doing a couple of little things to help more people find this daily dose of Star Wars joy. Leaving a rating or review, if you haven't done it, is great. Hitting a subscribe or a follow or a like or a join button, whatever your app calls it, like, that's also a great little algorithm thing that helps more people find the podcast. And even just telling people that this exists for them, that's a fantastic thing as well. And if you also think that supporting a daily dose of Star Wars joy like this, which is approaching its 10th anniversary not too long from now, like, if you think it's worth the equivalent of a cup of coffee every month or something like that, then you can actually do that and help support the production and creation of this show over at patreon.com/SW7X7. The sevens are the numbers, so it's SW, the number 7, the letter X, and the number 7 over at patreon.com. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.